Religious Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is Atlantis. And we also have a gift for you, but we'll have time more to go into what that gift is later on in the show. So, stay with us and we'll speak about it to you and define what you have to do in order to get that gift. The main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey. She's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. Lucis Trust sponsors this show, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature, and all the dialogue you hear is from that literature, as is the following thought. The sense of God, of immortality, of subtle inner relationships, and of worship, and the undue sensitivity of modern man is our outstanding heritage from Atlantis. I thought Atlantis was strictly a myth. Is there some spiritual basis for believing Atlantis really existed?
Apparently there is. Yes, it's one of those great enduring myths that never seems to evaporate completely, and that probably most intelligent, educated people treat with skepticism. However, there are references throughout human history to this civilization that apparently lived and thrived in what is now the Atlantic and disappeared in a great flood, which is a theme and a story, an epic that's found in many different religions. And even Plato referred to Atlantis. To me, like all myths, whether or not there's any real documentable, verifiable evidence for its existence or not, there are truths that are encapsulated in this myth and that have much to teach us today. And one of the most important aspects of understanding Atlantis is suggested in the opening thought when you spoke of our enduring heritage from Atlantis. Atlantis left a legacy that conditions society today, particularly the United States.
Yes, it said a lot of the souls who once inhabited that continent of Atlantis have also returned to the United States and this part of the world, and they brought a lot of the problems that we still have today, and that's one of the things that we should kind of bear in mind, is the historical connection there with Atlantis in terms of consciousness in particular.
And the United States does have a particular relationship to Atlantis, evidently, because this, especially the eastern part of the country, is located in the vicinity of where Atlantis was. And also it's said that a lot of the souls who lived on Atlantis thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago are drawn to the United States, which gives this country its psychic and religious bent and its spiritualistic religious approach, if people are familiar with spiritualism. So there are remnants of Atlantis that are quite unique to the United States, apparently.
But it's it's inherited in the whole of humanity, let's say, have kind of inherited mm-hmm. a lot of these characteristics that were predominated in Atlantis. And I think it's important to see how Atlantis fits into the whole process of evolution.
It has to do with consciousness, doesn't it?
That's the best way to really understand it. I mean, we can get caught up in the physical aspects of Atlantis because it was a very advanced society at the time. But it's important to see that what was going on in the consciousness of the Atlanteans, and even prior to the Atlanteans' times, the consciousness of the human race that was evolving. And that's very important to see this whole thing in this kind of historical context.
Well, maybe we should sort of sketch out the three major civilizations that in the writings of the Ageless Wisdom qualify or quantify human consciousness and its evolution. The earliest of the civilizations is called Lemuria, which some of our listeners might have heard of. And ancient Lemuria was, I suppose we could say, the home or the civilization of what we would call animal man.
Right. The emphasis during the Lemurian time, which goes back millions of years, but the emphasis was on the physical body, of developing the physical nature. And that's why there was not consciousness as we know it today, but it was strictly focused on the development of the consciousness, of the physical makeup, and the development of the physical body. And millions of years later, at the pace that evolution goes, it was decided to include a more emotional desire nature and to develop that aspect of human nature.
So the Atlantean civilization that we are talking about today is a step forward from the Lemurian stage, because it brought about the development of the emotional feeling life in the human being. It's said that the people of Atlantis had really no mind, no mentality at all, speaking in terms of the lower mind that reasons, plans, plots, analyzes, discriminates, makes choices. The people of that time had next to no mind at all. They felt. They lived and they felt. They sensed, they suffered, they desired. They lived completely as prisoners of their emotional bodies, and that was for the purpose of developing that level of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. It had a function.
Right, because it's part of our nature that had to be developed. And you should point out that there were more advanced beings, apparently, during these times that were guiding the race of men along at that time. They were providing the ways in which the cities and the civilizations could be built. The cities were large, and they were much the same as we have today, we are told. But they had inventions, and they had hygiene, and they had cities and with large buildings, and they even had command over the air, and they had aircraft, we are told. But all of these great inventions were given to the people by the initiates of the time. And so that, in a way, helped to stimulate the desire nature, the desire for more material things, which was right and proper in its time. But as time goes on, that really got them into trouble, because, as we know, a great schism erupted. And the war broke out, and there was a lot of problems.
During this period of Atlantean civilization, the consciousness of the human being developed a kind of a religious approach to life that hadn't been present before. And that's where our tendency even today to mysticism and to religious devotion originated because human beings were so emotional and limited only to the emotions. They felt divinity. They feared divinity, and they were extremely obedient to the people in their society who were considered to be the priests and the truth-tellers, the soothsayers, and so on.
They seemed to need authority. They liked authority, and they needed that authority because they didn't have the capacity to think for themselves so much. So they needed someone to lead them.
They were easily led and easily dominated and subject to the influence of people who claimed or probably rightly had a intuitive or psychic link with the inner planes. The psychic realm was very highly developed, apparently, in Atlantis, and it fostered, I think, a very advanced type of magic, apparently. People of that time knew much more about magic than we do today. That's all been lost.
Mm.
And it had to go, I suppose, because human beings needed to develop the scientific mind.
And it's that that magic, they had command over the forces of nature at that time. They knew more so than we do today, in fact, about how to manipulate the energies and forces of nature.
I suppose listeners could say, well, how do you know that?
Well, I was there.
Manipulating nature.
Yeah, but I've forgotten how to do it, so. That's what it's written in the Ageless Wisdom teachings.
And it's quite extensively written. These are themes that appear in a lot of the Ageless Wisdom literature. The point is to apply them to our consciousness today and to the problems that people are dealing with today, because we are still reverberating from the influence of Atlantis. We're told in the Ageless Wisdom that the vast majority of people, even on Earth today, are Atlantean in consciousness, dominated by their emotions, filled with fear and yearning and desire, sensing something which they aspire to, but without the mental clarity to know how to take the steps they need to take. And there's a much smaller group within humanity that is really beginning to polarize, we could say, in the mind. So it's a stage that we all need to understand.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is Atlantis. We have a gift for you today, and actually it's a paper on Atlantis, and all you have to do to acquire it is give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. The paper is taken from the works of Alice Bailey. And by the way, the easy way to remember the number is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. The actual number is 1-866-695-8247. It's a paper on Atlantis. It'll help you to explore this topic on Atlantis in a little greater depth. And also, we just need your help. These radio shows are very expensive, and we certainly appreciate the financial support you've given us in the past, and we do hope it continues. And all the work, not only this show, all the work of the Lucis Trust is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. Unfortunately, we're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program, and we depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. And by the way, our website, for those people who would like to key into our archived library of shows and other information about Lucis Trust, our website is www.lucistrust.org. I think you might be very interested in our archived library of past shows. They're on many, many different topics taken from the works of Alice Bailey. And we'll continue with our show, but I just wanted to ask Sarah and Dale, Is this information on Atlantis, is it taken from one particular book of the 24 volumes of literature of Alice Bailey, or is it scattered material that you more or less put together for the show?
It's really scattered throughout the books of Alice Bailey. There's no particular book that I'm aware of that deals with Atlantis. What do you think?
Well, no, I mean, there are sections in one or two of the books that deal with, you know, have a lengthy part about it, but one of them is externalization of the hierarchy, but and that will be included in this paper, by the way, so you'll get most of the material in that paper. We kind of pull it together and make a compilation of it.
We were talking before the break about the need for all of us to understand the Atlantean stage of consciousness, and that so many people still live in that stage of consciousness. Another interesting point is that we're told that every human being kind of recapitulates these stages of being fixated or polarized in the physical body to begin with, then awakening to the emotional body and becoming a kind of a prisoner of the emotions driven by them, especially the child and the adolescent, for whom desire and feeling is often overwhelming, and then the stage of developing the mind and beginning to move into life ruled by mentality. And so we can see these various stages of consciousness even within ourselves, perhaps, if we look back on our lives, and within our fellow human beings. What else can we say about Atlantis that will bring this whole subject to life?
Well, the many of the problems we have today having to do with materialism, I think, are related very much to the problems that the Atlanteans had to face back in those days. I mean, even millions of years ago, as we said, their focus of development at that time was the physical and the desire nature and the emotional body. And it wasn't too long before that began to turn against the whole focus of the, you know, the inner spiritual guides that were developing the race at the time. And it developed to a point where there was a great schism that erupted because the focus of materialism was driving their attention in the opposite direction from God. In other words, hierarchy, the spiritual guides, wanted to develop and bring in more light.
And I mentioned, I mentioned earlier that they knew a great deal about magic, and apparently the people of that time that were so fixated on material desire used magic to procure what they wanted. They were guilty of acquisitiveness and of theft, and they used this greedy impulse for luxury apparently to such an extent that even today we would be amazed and baffled by the level of luxury in which they lived. I think it's very interesting to apply some of that insight to life in the United States today, where luxuries seem to be more and more craved. And you wonder what the limits are for some people in what they think they need in terms of possessions.
Well, yes, it's that same, the same question, the same problems that are being recapitulated again on a higher turn of the spiral. This time we are a little more aware of what's going on. We have more of a mind to decide and to discriminate, which the Atlanteans apparently didn't have.
And that brings up an interesting point about Atlantis that is, I think, a very important point to understand. That society ended in a flood. The flood being the symbol of water, which represents the emotional realm. They were literally inundated by their desires, by their emotionalism, in the great flood that is hinted at in so many of the different myths and religious traditions. And the flood was brought on, we're told, by the spiritual hierarchy, by the masters, the advanced beings who at that time lived on Earth and guided and guarded humanity's evolution. And they reached a point where they realized that the humanity of Atlantis was so inordinately devoted to desire and to acquisition of material things, so dominated by emotion, that they decided to bring the civilization to an end. And they withdrew. And they've been gone from active involvement on Earth ever since.
It was because of this attention on material things and the building up of desire, of the desire nature, it opened up the door for really evil forces to come in. And they kind of got the upper hand at that time. And that's why the whole civilization was brought to an end and terminated, because that seemed to be, in fact, to the hierarchy, that seemed to be the only way. Now, of course, only the forms of the people were inundated and destroyed at the time, but the consciousness of the souls lived on.
Mm-hmm.
And those same souls have returned from time to time, and perhaps they're still with us today.
Well, as I understand it, today, at the present time, they're the whole problem of this element of desire and emotional fixation on the outer levels of life, on the material and the tangible, is again coming to a point of crisis. And so that's why it's said in the Ageless Wisdom that a lot of the souls who lived in Atlantis are back again dealing with the same problems, because until we resolve these problems, we have to face them over and over again. But the interesting thing is that this time, humanity has enough mental development, enough mind, that hierarchy does not intervene. We are left to our own resources to work out this problem, because we can do so. We have free will, and we have a mind. We have the power of choice, of discrimination. We have the capacity to sense values and to discern the difference between material values and spiritual values, between the selfish impulse and the impulse to the common good. We have all of this wisdom, you could say, available to us, and we are left on our own to draw upon it or not. And the prediction is that if we don't get it right this time, we will not go down in a flood, but in a fire.
And that fire was symbolic of what happened in World War II, World War I and II. I think they tend to see that as one great war, one extended war. And that was very much a case of the forces of darkness against the forces of light. And this time there was no interference by the inner spiritual guides, because they felt that humanity was up to the task of resolving it ourselves, in which case we did, almost pretty much so. But I think the problems of the material nature are still with us. We still have to resolve that, because that focus is still directing our attention away from the light. And that's what really we're here for, to bring, to be revealers and expressions of the light of God.
The interesting thing about the focus on the material plane is that the material plane is not bad, but that it has to be integrated with the inner spiritual dimensions and energies. If your focus is entirely on the physical, the tangible, the outer realm, without a simultaneous awareness of the inner conditioning spiritual energies that vivify and animate every aspect of the outer world, you are missing the point of life on Earth. And I think this is a kind of a difficult issue to understand, because a lot has been achieved by humanity on the outer tangible realms of life that has been good. Illness has been cured, great strides have been made in physical well-being for human beings. Those are all achievements that are good. But we can't turn our attention away from the inner spiritual realm of values, and that's I think, what's missing today.
Right, what you said about the materialism, it isn't material substance or material things per se that is bad, it's the allure or the attraction that these things have upon us. I mean, we want to possess them, but really we get to the point where we are possessed by them, and that's what has to be controlled and brought about. A change must be brought about in that respect, and that has to do with consciousness.
That's why the values of sacrifice and sharing and unselfishness are so important, not because they're just nice qualities, but because they indicate, when they're really spontaneously expressed, that humanity is moving forward in consciousness. And as long as we live lives of selfishness and materialism, we're dwelling in the state of Atlantis, so to speak. I don't know whether people can grasp the imprisonment of that society at that time, the lack of mentality, the lack of awareness of the inner subjective realm of life.
They weren't capable, because it takes a capacity of mind to be able to do that, and that's why it's different today, because we do have the at least the beginning stage of a mental development, and this is a long, long process that we're involved in, and we have to work our way through it, but we are gradually moving away from physical and emotional control.
I was wondering, as far as our opening thought, we took this quote from Alice Bailey, the sense of God, of immortality. Our modern-day sense of immortality, that comes from the Atlanteans also?
Yes, this aspirational sense of divinity on an emotional level, yes, is the heritage of Atlantis.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, we have a gift for you today, and we hope you take advantage of that. It's a paper. Paper on Atlantis, and it'll help you to understand it better, and you can explore the topic more deeply. Just give us a call, and that's how you get it for free. Give us a call, request the paper, ask for the Atlantis paper, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.